Romans chapter 16, verse 1 through verse 16. Let's read and then we'll come back and make some remarks on these verses. Romans 16, verse 1, reading from the New King James Version. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, and that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, and who also were in Christ before me. And Amplias, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, Stachys, my beloved, and Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and man. Greet Syncretus, Phlegon, Hermas, Paterus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Romans 16 in verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. We learn a great deal from these 16 verses here about some people whom Paul knew. Remember, he had not been to Rome, but he knows a lot of people in Rome. And he begins by saying, I commend to you, or I recommend to you, Phoebe, our sister, that is our sister in Christ, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Remember, Paul is in Corinth during his third evangelistic journey when he writes this epistle. The significance of Cenchrea is it's a port city. It was Corinth's port city. This was on the eastern coast of the Roman province of Achaia, Cenchrea was. And so there's a church in Cenchrea. How that church got established, we do not know. But Paul is writing from Corinth, and evidently this sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, many believe because she's mentioned here and mentioned first in this long list, and she is being recommended or commended to the brethren at Rome, many believe that she's the one that delivers this epistle to the saints at Rome, which is reasonable to conclude since she has the commendation or recommendation of the Apostle Paul. So I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, servant, diakonos, also translated deacon in the New Testament. But the word itself simply means servant. Now some, of course, in the denominational world would say she's a deaconess. She's a deacon in the church at Cenchrea. But we know the teaching from other places in the New Testament that deacons were males, not females. This individual is a female. She is simply referred to as a servant. As a matter of fact, all Christians are servants. And we serve in different ways, in different capacities, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in the congregations of which we're members. And evidently she served in some way the church in Cenchrea. She may, as I said, have been the one who brought this epistle to the saints at Rome. She may have been chosen and selected, as a matter of fact, to do that by the church in Cenchrea. We simply do not know, or Paul could have chosen her himself. Evidently, she was one like Lydia, whom we've studied about before, perhaps a businesswoman, as Paul goes on in verse 2 and says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. So receive her in the Lord. In one's union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive her as a sister in Christ in a manner worthy, in a manner that is fitting and proper for saints of God to receive and welcome one another. That you might receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. And note this, assist her in whatever business or whatever matter she has need of you. The word business there does not necessarily mean that she is engaged in some business practice. The word could simply be translated project, matter. That is, whatever she has going on. It could be some particular business like Lydia engaged in, but the word itself can also be rendered matter or something of that nature. And assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For, indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. She's been a helper. She's been a patron to the Apostle Paul and many. The idea in the word helper there, the last word, is the idea that she has provided that which was necessary, not only to Paul, but to others as well. Now think about where this lady lived. She was a member of the church in Cenchrea. She lived in a port city. Christians would be coming in and going out of that port when they would come to the Roman province of Achaia. If they sailed there, where would they stay? Perhaps many of them stayed in her house. Perhaps she assisted or helped, and that's the idea, because the word itself carries the idea of providing even to the extent of financial means. And so Paul includes himself in that when he says, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. What had she done for Paul? I don't know. Give him a place to stay, maybe? Providing my financial means to travel. And so, remember when Paul leaves Corinth on his third evangelistic journey, he goes to Cenchrea, has his hair cut off because he had taken a vow. He leaves from this port city and sails over to Asia, remember, and stops and calls for the elders from the church at Ephesus before he makes his way on to Jerusalem. So, she lives in this port city and perhaps has helped many and has also assisted the Apostle Paul and may have as well financially. Beginning in verse 3, we see a word used in every verse almost. I believe it's in every verse all the way to verse 16. It's a command. Greet, greet, greet. King James Version uses the word salute. So, this command is no different from the command, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, to believe and be baptized for the remission of one's sin. It's a command to greet, salute one, to welcome one. Brother Doug has a business. I'm sure when someone walks in that business, he greets them. He welcomes them. If he doesn't, someone else does. It's just the right thing to do, even in business life. That's what's under consideration here. And I know we've all been places and worshiped from time to time where we might say it was the most unfriendly place we've ever been. When you walk into a church building, you ought to be greeted. You ought to be welcomed. As a matter of fact, when you come in as members, as there's something said. Let's jump ahead all the way to verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now we'll talk about that when we come to it, but during this particular period of time, that's what people did. They welcomed people. They greeted people. And they even kissed people. Now, of course, it wasn't an erotic kiss, but that was the means by which they expressed their welcome and affection or fondness for others and was friendly toward others. And we ought to be the same way. When people come to our congregation, we ought to be friendly with them. And we ought to be friendly with one another as the holy kiss. Greet one another. Each other is the idea with a holy kiss. Now, of course, that was something done in this part of the country, as it still is done today. We have other means of expressing our fondness and affection for others, like a handshake, a fist bump now, or even a hug. And we ought to do that to one another because it's a command of God. Greet one another. Greet each other. That's what we're to do. So in verse 3, Romans 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet. He mentions Aquila and Priscilla at the top of the list because Paul spent a great deal of time with Aquila and Priscilla, and evidently they had helped him tremendously during the time that he had known them. So he sends greetings, but note Priscilla and Aquila are in Rome when Paul is in Corinth. The first time that he meets them, though, we'll be studying in the book of Acts not too terribly long from now. First time he meets them, where are they at? Where are they living? Does anyone know? They're living in Corinth. That's when Paul first meets them. And they were tent makers. And he himself could make tents, and so he labored with them in tent making some. And so Aquila and Priscilla were those who are mentioned first on this list because he had spent a great deal of time with them. Note, greet Priscilla. Some versions might have the shortened form of the word Prisca, simply the shortened form of Priscilla. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Not only were they fellow workers in tent making, but they were fellow workers in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And that's what's under consideration here when he says in Christ Jesus, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Not my fellow workers in tent making, but my fellow workers in association with Christ Jesus and in our relationship and union with him. Verse 4, note this, and we don't read about this any other place, nor do we know what they did. But Paul makes reference to it here. He says, who risked their own necks for my life. That is, they hazarded their lives for on behalf of the Apostle Paul. They risked their own necks. Now, risking their own neck is, you might say, a metaphorical way of saying they put their neck down on the block for the sword or the axe. They risked their own necks. When people were decapitated, their necks were stretched out on the block, and a sword or an axe was used to decapitate them. So there's the phrase, who risked their own necks for my life. That is, they put their head down and stretched out their neck on the block. They were willing to die, either on behalf of or for the sake of the Apostle Paul, depending on how that preposition is used. Who risked their own necks for my sake or my life, or on behalf of my life. Now, when they did this, we do not know. How it was they did this, we do not know. Who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, Paul was very grateful for what they did, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All the churches of the Gentiles, no doubt, that he had planted, he had founded. Because without Paul, if they had not risked their next for him, for his sake, then perhaps he would have been put to death and all the churches of the Gentiles that he established may have gone unestablished. Verse 5, Romans 16, likewise greet the church that is in their house. We're going to read about several house churches here. Evidently, there were many house churches. We call them house churches because the Christians met in homes. And evidently Aquila and Priscilla, the church was meeting in their house. That is, one local congregation in Rome was. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house, that is in their dwelling place. So the church meets in their home. Then he says, greet my beloved, Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Now, you may have a version that instead of Achaia, that reads Asia, who is the first fruits of Asia to Christ. That's the correct rendering. As a matter of fact, the word translated Achaia here is the word Asia. It's only found 20 times in the New Testament. For some reason, it was improperly translated here in the King James and the New King James, but it is the word Asia. So in the King James and the New King James, if you go by Achaia, it's the only time it's translated Achaia. All other times it's translated Asia. Asia has reference to the Roman province of Asia. So this individual, Epaphras, is the first fruits of Asia. First one, you might say, who became a Christian out of all the Roman province of Asia. Now, I'm not sure how Paul learned that, perhaps by inspiration, because remember, even on the day of Pentecost, there were people from Asia in the city of Jerusalem. So the only way Paul could have known that he was the first one added to Christ, and that's the preposition, into, first fruits of Achaia into Christ. First fruits, of course, means that he is the fruit of which other fruit will follow. That is the result or effect of preaching of the gospel that puts people into Christ. He was the very first one. And of course, there were many others to follow from the Roman province of Asia. Romans 16 and verse 6. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Mary. Many different Marys mentioned in the New Testament. Both Jews and Gentiles were named Mary, so it's no way for us to know which Mary is under consideration here. But note what is mentioned about her, who labored much for us, or some versions say, for you. Now, which one is right, for us or for you? Well, some Greek texts have for us, some Greek texts have for you. So it's hard to determine. But really doesn't matter who she labored for, but note what she did. She labored much. And the word labor here is going to be used several times in this context. It means to work or to toil to weariness. That is, the work or labor that she engaged in brought weariness. It was indeed work. It was effort extended. There was great toil in it. She worked much, much there, of course, intensifies the labor. So she did much work either for Paul or for you, that is, for the Roman saints. Now, how might Paul have known that? Well, when he met Aquila and Priscilla, who came from Rome, they may have told him that this Mary had labored much for the saints at Rome. So living a Christian life can be toil and labor, especially if you're going to serve the Lord as He intends for you to serve Him. A lot of work, a lot of labor, a lot of effort, a lot of toil. Some people think, well, there's no work in serving Christ. Attend services on Sunday morning, sit in the pew, and get up and leave. If they come on Sunday evening, they do the same. If they come on Wednesday night, they do the same. Never teach a Bible class, never lead a prayer, never do this, never do that. Oh, there's no work, there's no labor, there's no toil. Yes, there is. If we're living the kind of life that Christ expects us to live, we'll be laboring, we'll be toiling in service to the Lord. Several on this occasion are being commended because of their labor and toil for the Lord. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. It was all in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt. Verse 7, Romans 16. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. Andronicus is a male and Junia is a female. But you might be reading from a version that says Junius. That would be a male. Now, which one is which? Well, again, some Greek texts have the female version of the name. Some Greek texts have the male version of the name. It's just hard to determine which one was it supposed to be based upon the Greek text. But it's not really important that we determine whether Junia is a male or female. If we considered the rest of the text, we would perhaps say it was a male. But that's not necessarily true. There's just no way for us knowing. Greet Andronicus and Junia. We'll say Junius, my countryman. Now, we're going to see that phrase used several times here. You might be reading from a version that says my relatives or my kinsfolk. Bad translation. The previous occasion in which this word is used in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 9, Paul uses it in reference to his fellow countrymen, the Jews. And that's perhaps the way he uses it in this chapter on more than one occasion. So these are not relatives or kinsmen of Paul. They're simply fellow Jews. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my fellow countrymen, my countrymen, my fellow Jews, and my fellow prisoners. Now remember, Paul hasn't gone to Rome yet for his first Roman imprisonment. But according to his epistles that he wrote to the Corinthians, he was in prison often. So when were these two individuals in prison with him? We don't know. Were these two individuals in prison with him in Philippi? We just studied in Acts chapter 16. We have no way of knowing. As I said, Paul mentions the fact that he was in prison often in his epistle to the Corinthians. And so these two served time with the Apostle Paul, a godly man serving time in prison. Not like so many in prison today, but Paul was there because he was a godly man, not because he was a thief or an ungodly or wicked or evil man, but because he was a godly man. So greet Andronicus and Junius, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. Note this, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They were in Christ before me. That is, they became Christians before the Apostle Paul. But they're of note among the apostles. Now, of course, someone might say, well, they were of note among the apostles. Are these two being referred to as apostles? No, I don't think so. I think they are of note among the apostles. The apostles consider them to be outstanding individuals in Christ Jesus. They're outstanding. They're excellent, genuine Christians. That's the ideal of note among the apostles. So the apostles recognize them as someone who is an outstanding Christian. Romans 16 and verse 8. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Amplius, my beloved. We're going to see that word used more than once here too. My beloved. Beloved means dearly loved or simply dear. Someone who is very close. That's why Paul said, my beloved. He's very close to the Apostle Paul. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. That is, in their union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Romans 16, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Starkus, my beloved. So Urbanus, our fellow worker, note, not our fellow worker in tent making or our fellow worker or fellow laborer in this task or that task, but in Christ. In the work associated with Christ Jesus, they were fellow workers, perhaps fellow preachers and teachers of the word. And Stachys, again, my beloved, someone that was very dear to the Apostle Paul, someone very close to him. Verse 10, Romans 16, Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Note that word, approved in Christ. That word is the word that means that he's been tested. He's been proved to be genuine. It's the word that the Greeks used in reference to proving or testing metals. As they put the metals through the furnace and melted the dross away, it would prove to be genuine. Or it would prove to be worthless, useless. Apelles, approved in Christ, in his union and in his relationship, fellowship with Christ Jesus. He's genuine. He's true. He's a genuine and true Christian. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet those who are of the household, those who are of the family of Aristobulus. Now, we'll note something in this verse much different from verse 11. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Evidently, those who are of the household of Aristobulus are all Christians. So Paul sends greetings to them, those of the household of Aristobulus. Then in verse 11, he says, greet Herodian, my countryman. There's that phrase again. So is that a relative of the Apostle Paul? A kinsman of the Apostle Paul? No, a fellow Jew, perhaps. That's what's under consideration by the phrase, my countryman. Greet Herodian, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Note that. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Evidently, all who are in the household or family of Narcissus are not in the Lord. Paul only sends greetings to those who are in the Lord, that is, in Christ, in a union, fellowship, and relationship with Christ. Romans 16, verse 12. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. More literally, who labor in the Lord. It's present tense. These are two women who labor in the Lord. Present tense, they're presently laboring in the Lord in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. In their relationship with Him, they're engaging in the work of the Lord. But note the next one. Greet the beloved Persis who labored, past tense, much in the Lord. Is Persis here someone who is aged and perhaps cannot do what he once did? Because, first of all, the two women are presently laboring in the Lord, but this individual, Persis, and he is referred to as the beloved. He is much loved by Paul and evidently by others as well. Greet the beloved Persis who labored much in the Lord. Note that he didn't just labor, but he labored much. Like Mary back up in verse 6, the intensity of a labor was great. And he labored much in times past. He's not as able now to labor as much in the Lord as he once was. Verse 13, Romans 16. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and man. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Of course, the word chosen here means elect. All Christians are elect or chosen by God. And so the word, I want to suggest, doesn't carry that particular idea here because all of these other individuals are chosen and elect as well. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. That is, in the Lord, in his relationship, union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a choice individual. He's a select individual, chosen in the Lord. Excellent. Preeminent, outstanding. That's the idea in the word, chosen in the Lord. So he's an excellent Christian, preeminent in the Lord. outstanding in the Lord. That's the ideal of being chosen. You know, when we talk about, well, in some matter of secular affairs, we say, well, he's the chosen one. He's the preeminent one. He's the excellent one. He's the outstanding one. That's the way the word is used in this text here. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, not named, his mother and man. Does not mean that Paul and Rufus were brothers. Paul refers to Rufus's mother as his, in the sense that he treated her like a mother, or she treated him like a son. His mother and man. Verse 14. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. So perhaps there's a church here, a congregation meeting in a house, and Paul knows five names of that congregation, and the brethren, that is, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are with them. Verse 15, about to run out of time, greet Philologus, lover of words, and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. That seems to be another church meeting in a house as well, and some of the members are mentioned. Verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet or salute you. All right, we're out of time. We'll have to finish the chapter next week.